would, please tonight, take your Bibles and lay them in your lap and relax for a little bit while I tell you, not a story, but I mention something to you. I had not in my entire life done a very in-depth study on spiritual gifts. I thought I knew what my gift was. I studied that some and was helped by the Word of God by that. But I never did do a lot of preaching. I've done some preaching on it, but not a lot. And as I started doing it for our church and our services, I began to realize that there's more there and more possibility for help there than I ever realized before. And I got into that preacher quandary where you're so excited about the next message that sometimes you don't do what you ought to do on this message. And so I kind of backed up, and I want to go tonight and do basically an introduction to a study on spiritual gifts. And some of it will be redundant, some of it will be repetitive. I think there's enough new here, and maybe we can present it in such a way as that it will be, find it interesting and edifying. And certainly we want it to be honoring to the Lord Jesus. But I want to do that tonight and ask you please to bear with me. We've got a lot of places when we get down into the message where we're going to be flipping back and forth in some pages. But I think it will help you more if you actually see it written in the Scriptures. We go there and we see the context in which it's written and so forth. I think maybe that'll be more of a help to you. So if you will, bear with me a little bit. And if I've said it before, just go ahead and smile, just like you do when I tell the same joke 10 times. Just go ahead and smile and act like it's brand new. But I think there's some different information here and biblical principles that I believe will help us to understand as we get in then to a deeper study of the, and more pointed study, perhaps would be a better word, to the particular gifts that we want to mention. So let's look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll notice some things from the Scriptures. Father, we thank you tonight that we can bow our heads, our hearts, any time, Lord. And I know there's an appropriate time when we should bow our knee. I know that, Lord. And certainly when there's an appropriate time to bow our heads, there's an appropriate time to close our eyes. But Lord, we know we don't have to do any of those things to talk to you. And we're glad when we come in Jesus' name that you hear us. Glad, Lord, when we've confessed our sin, that you hear us. Glad when we want to confess our sin, you hear us. You've heard a number of requests tonight, Lord. We pray that you'd have your will and your way in all of those, and help us to so live that you might be honored by honoring our request. Help me tonight, Lord, to be a blessing to the people that are here, and we'll thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the word charisma, we find that used sometimes, you know, they say, well, he's a real man of charisma, and we think about the charismatic churches and so forth. Well, the word charisma is found in our New Testament in relationship with spiritual gifts 15 times. And then it's found two more times where it's called a free gift. And so the gift is really this. It's a favor that one receives without any merit of his own. The gift of salvation is a gift that God gives us with no merit on our part. We don't deserve salvation. Now, we don't deserve a spiritual gift that God gives to us. I remember one time I bought my son a pair of spurs. This is my son that's graduated to heaven, and we were living in Fort Morgan. We were living in horse country, and he was talking about these spurs all the time, wanting a pair of spurs. And I didn't want to go to Woolworths or to I think it was Gibson's there. And I didn't want to go there and buy him a pair of cheap spurs. So I went to Sammy's Saddlery in Brush, Colorado, and I bought him a pair of spurs. And they were expensive spurs. They were good spurs. The only difference between them and a full-grown man spur, was the fact that they were smaller so that they would fit his small boots. I took him with me down to the saddle shop to pick those spurs up. It was him and me, just kind of a dad and boy trip. And we went down, and I went in. He waited in the car. I went in and picked the spurs up and brought them back out and gave them to him. And You know how you open up that gift, you know, when you're a five-year-old boy, I guess you probably was, four maybe, ripped that thing open, threw everything in the back and looked at those spurs, took them out and ran the rowels a few times, threw them back in the box and pitched them over to the back seat. I said, what in the world? I'd have pinched this little gump's head off. He has no idea what those things cost. He has no idea the value. They didn't cost him anything. They cost me something. Now listen, sometimes when we think about a spiritual gift that God gives us, sometimes we don't appreciate what it cost. Cost us nothing, but it cost Jesus everything. And we need to think about that and pray about it. So it's a favor that one receives without any merit of his own. It's a gift of divine grace. It's a spiritual gift that is God-given, and he gives us the ability as a believer to effectively serve the body of Christ. The body of Christ is not some invisible, universal thing. The body of Christ is Bethel Baptist Church. The body of Christ is First Baptist Church in Deal. The body of Christ is Calvary Baptist Temple, and other independent, local, New Testament Baptist churches are the body of Christ in reference to the Bible, and very important that we understand that. And so God gives this gift with the idea that we invest that gift in our lives in a New Testament Baptist situation. It's a favor. It's a special gift. And it's to do the ministry on the behalf of and the empowerment of the Lord Jesus Christ so that he'll receive honor and glory while he's in heaven and we're here on earth. And so as we look at the scriptures tonight, we want to notice some things. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you will, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse number 1. The Bible says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know, I guess the Bible is pretty plain there. It says that we're not supposed to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. And yet I fear that many times we are, because preachers don't preach on them and because we don't study them out. We don't study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed. So let's notice this. He says we're not supposed to be ignorant. Now here's some things I think that would validate the fact that we need to consider the ignorance that we have about spiritual gift. Not everything in life that's called a gift is really a spiritual gift. In religious circles today, there's a lot of things running around and say, I have this gift. I have this gift of the Spirit. And it has nothing to do with the Bible. Remember, we've been teaching of late quite earnestly, frankly, and strongly about the fact that if it's contrary to the Bible, it's not biblical. If it's contrary to the Bible, it's not God's will. If it's contrary to the Bible, it's wrong. And so we need to understand that not everything called a gift of the Spirit really is. Secondly, we need to understand that some things that were gifts of the Spirit are not gifts of the Spirit now. So God may have given the Apostle Paul a gift that he won't give anybody on planet Earth now because it's not necessary. Paul may have given to John or to one of the apostles or to one of the early converts to Christianity, he might have given them a gift that he's not going to give anybody in the world today. So things that used to be a spiritual gift aren't necessarily a spiritual gift today. Say, do you have an example? I do. Tongues is not a spiritual gift for today. Has no need, has no authority, is contrary to the scriptures, it's wrong. And the Bible says not to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. And then there are some things, and this would not be preached in Congress today, but it's still biblical truth. Some gifts are to be used in a gender-specific situation. Some gifts are made to be used in a gender-specific situation. And I give you this example. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 12, God says, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And so God says that there's a time when the gift of speaking, the gift of prophecy, the gift of delivering the message is not to be carried on by a woman, but rather by a man. Because God says that he did not suffer a woman, would not allow a woman to teach or usurp authority over a man, but to be in silence. And then, you know, when you preach that, some ding-dong will come along and they'll say, well, I guess a woman ought to just come in, keep her mouth shut, sit down, not say yes, sir, not say no, sir, not smile, not show any affection, not show any emotion, just do not sing. That's not what it says. The Bible's pretty plain about that. It says that they're not to teach nor usurp authority over a man. And in that area, they're to be quiet. And so the Bible speaks about the ignorance that we have of spiritual gifts, and the ignorance runs pretty deep some places. And then secondly, as I think about spiritual gifts, every person who is saved has been given one of these gifts. You know, we have Christmas parties, and we go to Colorado for Christmas, and Miss Judy this year, she must have been backslidden. She only put up about 3 or 4 Christmas trees. She didn't put up 8 or 10 like she usually does. But the one Christmas tree in the living room, I don't know why she puts it up, because she nearly covers it up with gifts. And of course, everybody's saying, what's mine? What's mine? What's mine? The younger kids usually kind of pass those out to different people, and we try to watch people as they open them and one thing or another. But one thing is not allowed. One thing's not allowed. Everybody's going to get something. The fact is, if we have visitors there, they get something. But you're not allowed to complain about your gift. You want to lose your gift, complain about it. Now, God doesn't do that. God just doesn't work with us like we want him to work with us if we're complaining about the gift. But every saved person gets a gift. Now, people want to say, I can't. But let me say, there's things I can't do, at least as well as some other people do. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And he's given me all things richly to enjoy. He's given me everything I need to serve him in the manner in which he wants me to serve him. So let's go through the Bible chronologically. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, as we think about every person has a gift. In chapter 1, beginning in verse number 4, the Bible says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And so here the Bible says that every person in the church at Corinth had a gift. And the Bible says that they were to come behind in no gift. They weren't lacking anything that they needed for them to do what God wanted them to do. One of the things about indigenous missions, we talk about indigenous missions and not sending money overseas to build buildings and to pay salaries and one thing or another like that. God is able to give those peoples everything they need if we can just get them the gospel. We get them the gospel, and God will take care of their buildings. God will take care of calling their preachers. God will take care of paying their preachers. God will take care of all of those, because the Bible says God has gifts for us that will come behind in nothing. In chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 7 and verse number 7, the Bible says, for I would that all men were even as myself, but every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. How many men have the proper gift of God? Every man. Every man, the Bible says, hath his proper gift of God. Chapter 12, if you will, please. And we've spent quite a bit of time there already, but we'll isolate some of these verses and lift them up a little bit and see if we can't, without taking them out of context, get a better look at them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 7, the Bible says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So here again, we find that every man has a gift. In 1 Peter, if you will, chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. In verse number 10, the Bible says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister to the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." So here again, God says that every man, every saved person has a gift given to them by God, and then God wants it placed in a New Testament Baptist church, and God wants to use it there for His glory and for the edification and the building up of all the other parts of the body. Here's your thought. Receiving God's grace for salvation is also at the same time receiving God's grace for service. God didn't save us and leave us here so we'd stay home with the remote and flick through the TV programs. God didn't save us and invest so much in us and then just say, "Well, now just hang around and try to stay out of trouble until I come to get you." It's not what it is. God gave every saved person a gift. Now, that gift by itself, in one place by itself, might be a very weak thing. It would certainly be much weaker than what God intends. Because God intends for one man to have that gift and then for one church to have that man or woman, excuse me. And so God wants to take that nose or that ear or that appendix or that tonsil or whatever part of the body He wants us to be, and He wants to plug us in to a certain church where we can serve God and glorify Him. And every man, listen, every man has something. Every person, forgive me for saying man in gender neutral, but every person that's saved needs to plug in somewhere where they can better serve the Lord Jesus Christ and bring more glory to Him. Third thing we want to think about for a little bit is that the Lord wants to manifest your gift. In chapter 12, verse 7, we just read it, the Bible says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." The word manifestation there is the act of disclosing what was secret, what was unseen, or what was obscure. God wants to point out to us, God wants to manifest to us and to other people the gift that He's given us. Now, they might not know what that gift is as we're ministering to them, as we're working amongst them, but they ought to be enjoying that gift as we are living that gift. God makes it plain that He wants to manifest that gift. And then the Bible says it's given to every man to profit. Notice again in verse number 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." And so God again wants to give to every man something, and then a gift, and then He wants us to profit. He wants every man to profit. And so it doesn't necessarily say that I'm going to get rich by that. And I think that when I see the word profit, I think money. But it's more than that. If I'm allowing God to work in me like He wants to, and He wants to manifest that gift, He wants to show it to me, and He wants me to understand it, and then He wants me to dedicate myself to Him. And when I do, I dedicate that gift to, and then other people will profit because of that. People will profit that we don't even know that we've touched. People will profit that we have no idea how we helped them. And when we get to heaven, people are going to be talking about different things that happened in their life, and we'll say, "Well, man, I had no idea." But other people had profited because God manifested your gift and my gift. And then your gift is not necessarily like anybody else's gift, nor should you be jealous of it not being the same. In Romans chapter number 12, we find the Bible speaking of that. Romans chapter number 12. Sometimes, Miss Judy, when we go home for Christmas or when it comes time for birthdays, and of course we've got 11 grandchildren now and then the great-grandbaby, and Miss Judy's all the time saving her pennies and her quarters, nickels and dimes, and she wants to give a gift for Christmas. She wants to give a gift for birthdays, and I think we've kind of gotten past the anniversaries and so forth, but she wants to make sure that every gift is worth exactly the same. She spends exactly... Well, listen, I learned a long time ago, when a child is 16 years old, $5 doesn't go as far as it did when they were just a little one. And when they were a little one, $25 was a lot of money. That's not necessarily a lot of money for somebody else. And so even in our lives physically, We don't give exact gifts unless you get a big sale at Walmart or something. And so the Bible testifies that our gifts are not exactly all alike. They're not exactly like everyone else's. In Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse number 5, the Bible says, so we, and this is incidentally, the church at Rome, as they received this instruction, they were already quite a church. Their faith has been spoken of throughout the whole world. And so Paul says this about them, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and one members, and every one members one of another. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is in us. And then he mentions the list of gifts. So he says here that though God loves each of us and we all have our place in the body, that our gifts are different. I'm glad when I got up this morning that I didn't have 4 feet. I would have hated washing my face with my feet. And so the body of Jesus, the body of Christ, the local New Testament church, God gives different gifts to different members so that he can accomplish the job of a New Testament Baptist church. So the gifts aren't always the same. And then if you look in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, or verses 5 and 6 of chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12 verses 5 and 6. I don't know if that's so that God could help me with my locating of things or what, but it seems like Romans chapter 12, 5 and 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 5 and 6, amen. Thank God for a good Bible. Verse number 5 of 1 Corinthians 12. There are differences of administration, but the same Spirit, or same Lord, excuse me. And there are differences of operation, but the same God, which worketh all in all. Here again, God said in Romans, different gifts. Here he says that there's diversity of gifts in verse 4, differences of administration, differences, diversities of operation. God says that everybody's not going to get the same gift. So you don't have the same gift somebody else does, probably. You get into church, we had 40 this morning, and if there's 7 gifts or what we're studying, somebody there probably has the same gift you do, but not everybody. Not everybody. We need to understand that. And let me say this too. When we talk about the gift, chances are in a church our size, there's people who have more than one gift because of God wanting to get things done. But you have one primary gift, one gift that shines out above the others. You can do other things, and you can do them in the energy of the Spirit. You don't have to go into the flesh to do them. But you have a primary gift. The Lord Jesus, who was perfect, he had all those gifts. But we can have more than one as our relationship with him increases. And then we need to understand that it's not your mother-in-law mad at you that gives you the gift. We had a brother-in-law who's graduated to heaven. And every year when he'd get gifts for Christmas, he would not open them up. He would take them and put them in his closet. And then next year, that's what he gave out for Christmas. Amen. And people, said that he was cheap. And people said that they had a lot of names for him. And it was a joke. And people laughed. And they kidded him about it and so forth. He said, well, that's the way it is. That's the way I am. But we need to understand that it's the Holy Spirit of God that chooses our gift. And it's not a lesser gift. It's not an inferior gift. It's not an unimportant gift. And sometimes we get to think, oh, if I only could do that, if I only had that gift. Well, you just mess it up. Just like I'd mess it up. We need to work with what God's given us, not what we wish he had given us. Because when we do that, we'll get in trouble. For Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 11. The Bible says, but all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. Individually, every man severally, individually, God gives them a gift that he wants them to have. Now, I don't know exactly all the things that God takes into consideration when he gives us a gift. He saves us, and then he's going to give us a gift. And I don't know all the things that he takes into consideration. I'm sure at times he takes our gender into consideration, and probably our geographical location, maybe he takes that into location, but he gives it to individuals, severally, individually. He gives us a gift. The Bible says in, where's this at? In verse number, severally. Pardon me? Verse 11, yes, thank you. But all these worketh that one of the selfsame Spirit divided into every man severally as he will. So it's the Holy Spirit of God that gives it to us. Drop down to verse number 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. So God in verse 11 gave the gift, and God in verse number 18, he put the person with the gift into the body of Christ that they might serve him in that place. And then next we see the believer with their gift is given to a New Testament church and will glorify the Lord if we allow him to. Now, sometimes you can be like Uncle Don was. Take your gift and just put it up and wait to give it to somebody. You can't give away your gift. The spiritual gift that God gave you when you got saved, you can't give it away. You can't. But sometimes we tuck it away somewhere. We say, I don't want to know it. I don't want to see it. And if you do catch a glimpse of it, you kind of get an idea of what it is that God has given you, and you kind of move from the inside, it seems like, and you want to do this or you want to do that, and you kind of get the idea, maybe that's what my gift is. You say, but I don't like that. I don't want that. Sorry. Get your heart right with God. God gave it to you. It cost you nothing. It cost him everything. And we need to understand the importance of receiving the gift that God gives us and then allowing him to direct us where he wants us to serve him. Some people have no idea where they're supposed to go to church at. It's funny how many mistakes God makes when it comes to putting people in churches. I know this is where we're supposed to be. Well, that was last month. Now we're supposed to be here. Well, no, that's next month. Confused. We're supposed to receive the gift, whatever the gift is, and then there is a certain church in town where we can plug in. God can put us in that church and we'll be more of a blessing there than we'll be any place else on planet Earth. That makes it not an incidental thing. Not at all an incidental thing. Go with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. And we'll begin reading in verse number 7. The Bible says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. What for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now just a minute. If a person is saved, they have been given a gift, God has a particular place where he wants them to serve. If they're not there, who's doing their job? Somebody's pulling double service. Someone's doing extra work. Someone's liable to get bitter because of the extra labor that's placed upon them because somebody is in the wrong place. The Bible testifies he put people, he gave a gift to people, And then he's going to put those people in the right place for the perfecting of the saints. God wants to work whatever, use whatever gift he's given you towards perfecting saints, towards perfecting those people that are in this body. And then for the work of the ministry. Someone says, well, I thought that's what we hired a preacher for. Well, first off, churches don't hire preachers unless he's a hireling. If he's a hireling, he ought to be ashamed of himself. God calls preachers, and God takes care of those preachers. And again, this morning I made quite a bit of the thankfulness for the way Bethel Baptist Church takes care of their pastor. I'm very thankful for that. But the Bible says God saves people, gives them a gift, puts them in the church he wants them in for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Well, you say, well, what's a preacher do? Well, according to Acts chapter 6, he's supposed to pray and take care of the ministry of the word, especially doctrine, the Bible testifies. And then he says, they're to be there for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, verse 12. How long? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. So evidently to that point they had been children tossed to and fro. When you don't know what you believe and you have no one that's helping you, you are lion meat. You are devil bait. And you can be tossed around like a BB in a boxcar. And too many Baptists are that way. But the Bible says that if we're following what God has established for us, we get saved, he gives us the gift, we're in the church that he wants us to be in, other people are in the church God wants us to be in for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith, that we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Boy, every time something new comes down the road, some people are saying, oh, that's it, that's it, that's it. No, this is it, this is it, this is it. The Word of God, not some new feeling, some new fangled deal that's coming down the road, not anything like that. By every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, that almost seems like it's premeditated. People lying in wait to deceive. And God, if you're in the right church, it's a whole lot more difficult for the devil to deceive you than if you're in the wrong one. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love. Someone says, Brother Sutton, you need to shape up on that. And I know sometimes I get a little cranky. I know I do. I'd rather have a cranky person tell me the truth than somebody smiling and nice to me tell me a lie. Thank you very much. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. God is saying, if you're where you're supposed to be, I've given you everything you need to be a successful Christian. But you have to be where you're supposed to be. You're always playing catch up if you're not where you're supposed to be. Now, somebody says, well, I know what my gift is and I don't like it, so I'm just going to turn it in. Take your Bible for one more place tonight. The book of Romans, chapter number 11. Romans, chapter number 11. Verse number 29. The Bible says, for the gifts and the calling of God or without repentance. You can't get rid of them. You can't take them to the thrift store and turn them in and get something else. You can't go to the to the barter store and say, I want to swap this gift for something else. I'd really rather do something else. You're stuck with your gift the rest of your earthly life. If stuck is the right word. I guess if you regret it or you don't like it, you're stuck with it. If you like it, you enjoy it, then you can appreciate it. You welcome it. You ought to do that. That ought to be our attitude, that we like the gift that God has given us. Because the Bible says that it's without repentance. Now let me share this thought with you. Because the gifts in the God of God, the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, we can't get rid of those. That calling, if God's called you to the ministry, or God's called you to a special service, God's not going to change his mind. But you can disqualify yourself from a calling. How many people today have disqualified themselves from the pastoral ministry because of some sin in their life? And so when we know we're saved, the Holy Spirit of God is living in our life, we understand from the Scriptures that God has given me one of seven gifts. He's given me one of those, and it ought to be precious. I'm going to have this gift the rest of my days on earth. I need to learn how to allow God to work with this gift in my life so that I'm not always playing do-over like Brother Sutton did with this message. We need to be living our lives so that night when we go to sleep, David this morning was talking about meditating in the night watches and remembering upon his bed. Wouldn't it be nice if at night we could go to bed and say, man, bless God, by his grace and for his glory, I did what I was supposed to do today. That happens when we submit to him and we do what he's left us here to do. He didn't leave us here because we're good looking. He didn't leave us here because we're rich or fancy. He didn't leave us here because we're smart. He left us here because there's people in this world that have a need for Christ Jesus. There's people in this world who, though they're saved, they have a need to be encouraged. And God has given you a gift, if you're saved, that he wants to use to reach lost people, and he wants to use to encourage discouraged people. He wants to use that gift to rebuke people that are living like they ought not to be living. God has given you a tool that he wants to use. Now, it can be used wrong, and we'll talk more about that later, but to know that God trusted you with something. When I was a kid at home, we were raised with guns in the house, but we knew we weren't supposed to take the guns out of the house. We knew we weren't supposed to play with the guns. And I remember on two different occasions when a gun went off in the house, my fingerprints weren't on the weapon. Praise God. But I remember the time that my dad said, if you think you know how to handle it, you can take it outside. And so the Lord says that to us. I've given you a gift, a precious gift, a wonderful gift, a powerful gift. And if you think you know how to handle it, you and I can work it together with that gift to accomplish more glory for me, more good for you, more honor for me, and more satisfaction and peace in your life than you ever thought possible because of the gifts that God wants to give us, that God has given us, that he wants us to use. Let's bow our heads, please.